While weird weather rains down across America, weird, lazy, self-serving, contradictory, and utterly bankrupt political decision-making is being perpetrated by both major political parties, the GOP really seems to believe that Stalin, Hitler, and Mao would be better than Donald J. Trump. Therefore, all kinds of cockamamie schemes are being wheeled out to stop this most dangerous man in history. For example, the previous candidate who went moribund, he basically died at the end of the last campaign and refused to attack the president, now takes to public TV to claim the GOP's presumptive nominee is a liar, a cheat, and a con man, everything but a baby murderer, but you can bet he's going to claim that next. And by the way, this current president, Mitt Romney, refused to engage, is currently in the process of driving our republic off a cliff. Now Mitt offers to be the nominee for the party without having gone through the process. How generous! Other schemes include the option of running a third-party GOP candidate from the right or even transparently voting for Hillary Clinton, the former occupier of the world's most dangerous would-be dictator slot. Democrat side, Hillary herself is facing possible indictment, and her replacement is an open socialist. Is the Democratic Party serious? I've never seen anything like it. Meantime, this humble broadcaster has a tale so uncanny and chilling, he had to offer it up as an example of what happens when dreams, religion, and potential damnation meet. In the interim, Steve Pierce is coming on at 7. What does it all portend? Stay tuned, sports fans. Good morning to you. 6:08. It is the 10th day of the third month, March 10th, and it is interesting days. As I just mentioned, there is this really furious attempt to get rid of Donald Trump that is taking on just ridiculous, aspects, and it is really just, it is as if this party that is so failed and has been so failed on a national level and yet on a state level is so successful, it's almost as if this party has completely lost its mind. I mean, the idea that Hitler, or pardon me, Hitler, if Drudge is the issue, you know, or pardon me, not Drudge, but Trump is the issue and everything else, you know, we've got to kill Hitler in the crib. We have to stop Stalin from taking over for Lenin. Chairman Mao's thousand-mile journey must be stopped. I mean, this is all craziness, and I think it does not bode well for the future of the GOP. I don't know how they are planning on getting past this, but I mean, why don't you just, you've run a terrible, terrible party for the last 20 years. And you've made every mistake imaginable, including nominating completely ridiculous picks like John McCain, who refused to attack Obama over his background, over his supposed Marxist ties, over his lack of experience. John McCain did nothing in his campaign. Mitt Romney refused to attack the president. Both of these guys brought in these kind of I'd called them antebellum ideas, but the idea that they had to be polite. Well, you know what? Please don't run for president for me, representing me, and be polite. Just stay home. You know, let's get in there for a bare knuckles brawl if necessary to get these whack jobs out of office. I mean, this there's so many stories. I've got a story for you that I wanted to get on, and I don't know if I'll be able to get it on before 7. I'll probably have to do it after Steve comes on, but an absolutely astounding story from a friend of mine. But you know, I've just got so many things going on here that I think that are not right. And for instance, the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who's not a coal miner's daughter, by the way, she discussed how the Justice Department has pondered taking legal action against climate change deniers. These people are leaving the border open and refusing to apprehend and process illegals that are coming into the country, many of which are felons, and some of which are members of the most violent gang in the world, MS-13, but they're going to prosecute climate deniers. It's discouraging, you know, but we can't give up on this thing. Now, the president himself refuses to go to see Ronald Reagan's widow placed in the ground. Truly an epic. And you think about the way the world has changed since Reagan left office, and it wasn't even really that long ago. Probably half the country can still remember him as a president. But this president, Obama, is too busy going to some convention, some tech convention. I mean, it's just so insulting, you know. So, and now they're going to try to throw out Donald Trump. How? Seriously, how are you going to throw this guy out of the party without destroying the party? How are you going to block his nomination when you don't even know what his leadership would look like? Imagine if they put all of the money and effort and concern into choosing a good candidate, into training young leaders, young GOP leaders, the would-be next Marco Rubios. What if you put all of your eggs in the basket of bringing up, like, training and directing the next generation of politicians to actually serve the people? And, instead they let the process run, and when the process comes up with this candidate, and then hand the country over to the other party. Is Donald Trump really the worst person in politics? I mean, I think the thing that is bothering people out there is this notion that the party has a duty to commit suicide rather than bring its own nominee in. Haven't we just done that for the last 8 years? Obama was the weakest candidate, as far as I know, in the history of re-elections for the presidency in terms of his numbers. And he beats Mitt Romney, who simply just, you know, he stopped, like they say, stopped campaigning. Mitt Romney ran a machine. He had some sort of a computer thing. And you remember this? The computer system broke down on the night before election, and they couldn't get it up again. And all of their polling said that they were going to win. So he kind of backed off the gas. This is the guy that wants to come in and run again. I mean, you've got to be kidding. So in the meantime, Marco Rubio is playing to empty stadiums. His numbers are cratering, and they're talking about him leaving the race. And, you know, some of the people are suggesting that he's going to drop out. He's down now by, I think, 19 points. There's no way he's going to win with the election just a few days away. So anyway, let me take a break here. We'll come back and I'll give you some national weather. There's some crazy things going on out there. Kelly O'Connell, 6:15. We got Steve Pierce at 7. Appreciate you tuning in. It's AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. The craziest days in politics in a long time. We'll be right back. And this is a little live Melissa from the Allman Brothers. All right, so it's 7:06, I believe. Steve Pierce is on his way, or maybe have just arrived. But I wanted to tell you guys a little bit. Here he is. Here's the man himself. Good morning, Steve. How's it going?
I'm doing great.
Give him a second to settle in there, and then somebody with a cowboy hat. Anyway, I wanted to let you know, just before we start talking to Steve a little bit, that there's an English-speaking ISIS member who claims that attacks are going to be occurring on America very soon, and that's something that we can talk about tomorrow. And also a document that has identified 20,000 different jihadists. So they're out there, and they're not going away. And then we've got the whole problem with the border, which I'll bring up both of those things tomorrow. But anyway, good morning, Steve. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Just showed up in Las Cruces last night. Been out in the district all week long, kind of sweeping from the east to the west. Now it'll end up in Animas sometime tonight. Be meeting with ranchers out there who feel frightened right now at the border. More gang activity every day, kidnapping, of course, the threats of violence. Our government says that the footprints are headed south. They don't even chase them.
We've got this news release that's come out that states that basically the government has said stand down on apprehending people at the border, and they've reassigned people from the border elsewhere.
Yeah, and so now then the ranchers say we can't defend ourselves because you'll come arrest us if we try to stop people from taking our property, and you, the government, won't defend us. So what are we, not part of America? And it's a basic question of what the government is supposed to do. One of the things is supposed to secure the borders.
Well, let me ask you this. People want to know what their rights are. We're talking about natural law. At some point, the right to defend yourself is probably the oldest right in the history of humankind.
This government now, the one that we call the American government, is saying that you don't have the right to do that. And so I think that's one of the reasons we've got so much anger right now that's fueling both parties. The Trump phenomenon, the Sanders phenomenon, is the anger against the establishment in both sides.
All right. So you're talking about the anger that's coming from this, the sense that government has lost its way. One of the most disturbing things for people is to see that the government has an area of authority in which they're not only not taking it, using the best methods to control it, but they're actually derelict. It is one of the scariest things that I've ever seen. We're going to pull people off the border so anybody can come across the border. What is the intention, as far as you can tell, of this new policy?
Derelict is a word that gives them too much credit. I will tell you that a lot of times it appears outright directive. And this dates all the way back into the Bush administration, too, so don't believe it.
Well,
just
I remember
Democrats.
People were going to the border to stop the crossers during Bush's term, and that's when I realized he wasn't a conservative because he said people need to go home.
Yes, and so since we're not going to do it, you all don't have the right to do it. And so this is way beyond Republican and Democrat. This is the basis of our government and what it's going to be. So you ask, is it dereliction or what is it? I can tell you it appears to be an outright strategy that if we open the borders up, then we become part of this world community. I can't explain it. I really don't myself. We've only got so many jobs to go around. And so I like immigration, but I also want legal immigration. I want us to control who comes in and how many come in.
Steve, Nancy Pelosi a couple of years ago went to the border and made a symbolic statement, waving her arms forward and backwards, Americans come, you're welcome, Americans come. So the symbolic statement there was that people who are outside of America were Americans.
Yeah, we're in order to pay for those people who are coming now, the ones that can't find jobs and going to welfare or whatever, we have to print money all over the world. This system that we can pay for everyone all the time, the economic systems are breaking down everywhere. And so we're looking at economic and social chaos if we do not check the direction that things are moving.
Now, if you want to talk about world socialism, which is the ultimate plan, if you go back to the beginnings of what these people believed, they wanted an international government that was controlled outside of any national interest. That's what you're talking about here.
It has that appearance. Now, I'm not in the rooms. I can't judge their hearts, but I can tell you, you can see what they're doing, and that's what they're doing. Because the ranchers tell me, we get no protection. If the footprints simply head south, then the criminals can do what they want. They can break in, they can steal, and they can continue south without any intervention at all.
I never thought I'd see this day come to America. It's crazy because it's not even logical.
No, there's no logic to it, but it extends beyond the border. If you take a look, yesterday I met with ranchers from up around Weed. We've been in a 12-year battle. They have what the state engineer describes as some of the best 1907 water rights, which those are perfect rights. The courts have said twice that the water belongs to the ranchers, and the Forest Service responds by electrifying the fence around it, saying that they have a greater obligation to protect the mouse than to enforce the Constitution or laws. So the law's on both sides of it, but they choose to interpret the laws saying we've got to protect jumping mouse instead of protect your private property rights, the water.
Reminds me of an old saying, the mountains churn and produce a mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they need to produce more right now. And so the ranchers are bringing up good arguments that how come the fences that are electrified keep out the cows, but they're not high enough so the elk are able to just to step across. How come the mouse is not damaged by the elk? The cows have been there for 150 years, and now that all of a sudden the mouse is going extinct, why didn't it go extinct 100 years ago or 75 years ago? Why just now? They reintroduced elk after the elk had all disappeared, and the Fish and Wildlife or whoever is saying it says, but the elk are natural. Well, the mouse doesn't know when somebody steps on it, which is natural and which is not natural. Plus, they just can't answer why the elk are allowed to destroy the habitat and the cows are not.
Well, let's break this down to what natural rights people have in terms of protecting their property, being safe at the border. If the federal government refuses to do their job, if they're actually working against the safety of the people, do the people have rights of self-defense?
Well, I mean, that's the whole discussion that's going on in Oregon right now, or was going on. They've arrested everybody after the fact. And so basically that whole thing started with a fire that was set, and it was set on private property. And we have not seen the permission slip, but the general information is that they had asked permission from the BLM or Forest Service or whoever. They were granted permission. The winds got up and it burned maybe 25 acres under the fence that went into BLM property. So they're now going to jail for 5 years for burning 20 acres of Forest Service land. I see those same sorts of backfires set daily by Forest Service employees. Sometimes they burn out of control, burn 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 acres, and no one is ever held accountable. So that different standard for people, the heavy injustice of going to jail for a 25-acre fire when people that are selling drugs on the street don't have to worry at all, or if your footprints are headed south, you don't have to worry about jail at all. And so those are the things that are fueling these questions about just what is the role of government and what are we going to do?
What can we do, Steve?
Well, those people stood up and said, we're going to make a public issue out of it. Myself, I ask people to stand in the streets with me and say that the government has gone too far. We've had 5 major demonstrations saying that the government has gone too far with regard to wilderness, with regard to the roadless rules, the lesser prairie chicken. And we're just going to have to speak up as a people, and we have to have more than just a couple of us. And that's the whole Trump-Sanders phenomenon right now. It is people speaking up and saying that we want somebody to shake the system up. It's probably not more complex than that. I mean, I don't think many people really like Trump the best, and I don't think that they are drawn to his rhetoric. They are drawn to the fact that he says he's going to shake it up, and they just think he might be the last hope to shake it up. So that's it's far simpler than what all the talking heads on TV are trying to make it.
I mean, it's just so sick, though, to see the government come in and take control of the border and then tell the states to back down, tell private citizens to back down, and then send the border agents away and just say whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, and so again, that's the thing. We're going to Animas to meet with those ranchers, a public meeting. I think the emotions are going to be very high, and I think that we as elected officials have a responsibility to listen and to represent people like that against the government. So we met with the Forest Service and Fish and Wildlife yesterday on the water issue up around Weed. I think I'm supposed to be the representative for the forest when the people are being crushed by a government that is too strong.
Now, if somebody, you know, had land on the border and there were illegals coming over and stealing, or just say it was an illegal on the border and the person who owned the land apprehended that person and held them for authorities, would that farmer or landowner get in trouble?
Well, that's the situation that came up a couple of years ago. You remember the rancher that was killed. Those were actually two brothers. They had a ranch right on the border. One brother would always help illegals and leave food and water out. The other one would pick them up and turn them in. They killed the brother, the cartels killed the brother who helped people, just to send the message that if anyone in your family is ever speaking out against the people coming across, we'll kill you. And so that's the thing that I think disturbs people, is that they all are at risk, even if you have helped. The Border Patrol sometimes goes ahead and apprehends the people. Sometimes they turn them loose. Generally, the prevailing talk on the street is if you don't have more than 150 pounds of pot on you, if the mule is carrying less than that, they won't bother with you. So now then, it's like you have a threshold that the law only applies if you're breaking the law. Country, you get a couple of ounces and risk going to jail there. On the border, if you got 150 pounds, it's just too small to be troubled with. And so,
well, there are reports coming out that there is a spike in child crossings, and that they've never seen more youth streaming across the border. And at the same time, the president is pulling Border Patrol off, and their Border Patrol officers are being told, from what I understand, if you want to enforce the law, go find another career.
Yeah, I don't know if they're being told that. All I know is that the crossings are happening unabated. So they began to move people into Holloman Air Force Base, these unaccompanied children. We went over and visited the place just to make sure that the children were being cared for properly. But in the process, we began to ask questions. How come you got 570 people working when you have 129 kids here? That's four per kid. That's, you could just give them parents. Pay for parents every day. So as we begin to make observations about the program and asking questions about the cost, they suddenly moved those kids out. That was not my intent. My intent was to hold the government agency accountable for the tax money they're spending. And it looks like that the cost per kid is anywhere from $500 to $1,000 a day. Well, we could send them to Cancun and put them scuba diving every day for less than that at one of all the all-inclusive resorts. So at some point, we have to ask these questions. What are you using the taxpayers' money for?
Well, here's the title of some of the articles that I've seen recently. Arizona sheriff unleashed, Obama handcuffed Border Patrol, had agents assigned to low traffic areas, attempted to quiet dissent, record number child illegals flooding border beyond crisis proportions, border ranchers outraged by lack of security, everyone scared, border chief surges across Southwest, new normal, illegals told to look for agents, you will be protected, border crime taking toll in residents in New Mexico, Arizona, illegal storm border before wall is erected, recipe for disaster, fewer agents to patrol border. That's one page of the headlines from the Drudge in just the last 2 weeks.
Now it is crisis proportions. Again, it's the reason we're headed to the border, to hear the people. I know many of these folks personally. They're not just out there hyperventilating. If they raise their voice, it's because they feel like that things are badly out of control. I will tell you that the report that you turn yourself in, if you're coming across as an illegal alien, as underage, you turn yourself in and they're required to take them and get them help and give them custody. So that word gets out in Central America, and families turn their kids loose to send them up here. What kind of a policy would take kids from their parents? What kind of policy would encourage parents to send their kids with child traffickers on a hazardous journey? This is beyond human understanding what we're causing.
And we are informed that, that over 90% of the females that cross are raped.
Yeah, I've heard similar numbers. I have not ever been able to verify it. But again, you can visualize that these are unsavory characters who are conducting the illegal activity of trafficking. And it's not a very far assumption to think that they take liberties.
March 1, headline, border agents who object to Obama amnesty told to look for another job.
Yeah. So you just you're sitting here wondering what in the world is going on. And again, it is that what in the world is going on that's fueling Sanders and Trump to outsiders and saying that we just both parties are wanting somebody that'll go in and shake the system up.
This is the question. You've got the elites who come in and they want to run everything. They often come out of the Ivy League. They've got their theories. They're up on the latest ideas. They come in and they start running things. They start managing government. It's total chaos and unmitigated disaster. And the rage that's coming up through Trump and Sanders is, how else can people defend themselves?
That's it. And so they want to be much more than just a vote. They want to be a part of a movement. And that movement says we're going to start fighting back to take our government back, to take our country back. People are alarmed. And different from previous generations when we didn't have access to the information, you could previous generations, you knew things weren't quite right, but you couldn't verify what was going on around you. Now we have access to worldwide headlines, just like you were able to scroll down in less than a minute.
How bad is the you know, we've got the House and Senate. How bad, though, is the feeling of this chaos and just lack of control in the House? From what the federal government's doing?
Well, there are 32, 35, I don't know exactly how many in the Freedom Caucus, and it doesn't extend much beyond that. In other words, the people that joined the Freedom Caucus are saying, wait, the country is headed the wrong direction. I'm a part of that. And we've got to change our ways. People will readily say that we in Congress are what created Trump. If you don't like him, then look in the mirror, because our inactions against a president who's willing to break the law, who's willing to extend beyond the Constitution and the unconstitutionality, we have done very little pushback. And that's the reason that Boehner is no longer there. The sense inside began to build bigger and bigger. But now that we've replaced him, it's kind of back down. And, oh, Paul Ryan's going to be okay. He'll keep us out of trouble. And I think there is just a simple lack of understanding on how deep the anger is out here. And both parties are faced with that.
Can we talk for just a minute about Trump? I know that you're on the inside and hear all a lot of the stories and strategies and stuff. Two questions. What are the chances that they're... Well, the first question is, why is he being treated worse than Mao and Hitler? He's considered to be worse than Mao, Hitler, and Stalin. And number two, what are the chances that they actually do stop him?
I don't know really on the second. I don't know the chances. I know that if they try, then the people who support Trump will probably walk away from the party. And again, the same thing is happening. The people who are supporting Sanders. He got the highest amount of votes in Michigan and got the lowest number of delegates. And so people inherently know that that's wrong. And when the system is gamed, they walk away from that. And so Hillary faces the same problem Republicans face. If they go in and tamper too much, then the people that support Trump will say, nope, y'all cheated. If you want it fair and square, fine, we might support the other guy.
All right, here's another question then from the inside. You know how all of this stuff works from the inside, Steve. You've been there for a number of years. What are the chances that the Obama administration's own Department of Justice indicts Hillary in a crime which could ultimately finger point at Obama?
Yeah, I think there's almost zero chance of it. I think that was the hidden message back when Biden dropped out. You remember he was toying with running. Well, what he was toying with running was, if she is indicted, then we need a candidate that the establishment can trust. And Sanders is not that candidate. So as he lingered on, then you felt like there was a possibility of indictment. But when he stepped out, that was almost a sure sign that, okay, the structure's been assured that the investigation will go on. Everybody trusts that Comey over in the FBI will do a thorough investigation. He's not very political. He's really respected by both sides. So his investigation is very pointed now, getting closer. But the actual indictment comes from the Attorney General, and she will not indict him. I don't see any way that she would do that.
okay, and what happens if Comey says we want an indictment, we need to indict? There's obviously going to be that would cause a huge firestorm. What do you think would be the
They'll quieten it down. They'll remove him and put somebody in that say, well, those facts are really cloudy and we don't like that. So I would be watching for his replacement anytime soon. But at the end of the day, he has no standing in the actual filing of the indictment. The indictment has to come from the attorney general or the U.S. attorneys or whoever is prosecuting. He simply gathers the facts. So I think that he's been personally involved in making sure that the facts are gathered. They all point to the fact she did much worse than what Petraeus did. He had to make a deal to keep out of jail, and she's going to walk scot-free.
Steve, I know you got to run to the other studios, but any concluding statements?
Yeah, we're having town halls as we go across, and my message is that we are not powerless. That many times the middle class and the working poor feel like that the rich get special deals. The very poor have special programs, and we in the middle get stuck with the bill. And so I'm saying that we're not powerless. Let's start doing what we can with what we have. And we're talking to specific neighborhoods saying that let's have neighborhood discussions. Let's forget the town hall format. Let's talk about who we are as people and what our values are. So I think at the end of the day, that's the most important thing for us to reassess during this time of deep contemplation. The country is doing a lot of contemplation because of Trump and Sanders.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks. Always
great
talking to
you.
Appreciate it.
Folks, Steve Pierce there, and he's working around the state to try to make it a little bit safer on the borders. Allman Brothers Midnight Rider will be right back. 728 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450.
One more silver dollar that I'm
All right. I had told you I was going to inform you of a very strange story this is probably 6 months ago, and I'm trying to think. At the time, I think that it was just so kind of shocking and everything, and I can't even remember if I thought about bringing it on the show because it's about a friend of mine, but I won't give you too many details, and so you know, I can at least tell you the person does not live here in town. Now, to kind of set the stage for this, Exorcist warns vampire ritual killings on the rise after spate of satanic initiation murders, and this is from the Daily Mirror. This comes as an exorcist says the devil worship rituals are happening across Mexico, and so this is a story that comes out of Mexico. Police have warned that a number of recent murders could be the result of satanic ritual killings in which the victim hopes to be reborn as a vampire. The murder of a 24-year-old man led cops to believe he was the victim of a vampire cult killing. Edwin Juarez Palma was strangled, beaten, and cut with a broken bottle at a cyber cafe in northern city of Chihuahua, Mexico. So not too far from here, he had his hands tied up and was beaten and attacked with glass bottles before his death, designed to, quote, transform him into a vampire. This comes as a leading exorcist warned these types of killings are on the rise in non-Christian countries. Father Jose Antonio Fortea said that, quote, the vampire fad is something that's very close to Satanism, saying it's not just a taste for darkness, but rather a taste for evil and an aesthetic connected to an entire way of looking at life. Vampirism is totally amounts to devil worship. And the more society abandons the ways of God, the more cases of Satanism, the more a nation is Christian, fewer cases of devil worship. All right. And then in another story in here, three men were picked up and arrested. Well, that's the same story. Three people were picked up in that murder. It was what they called an initiation. Another article from the San Francisco Weekly, Return of the Devil, Exorcisms Comeback in the Catholic Church. And we know that the Catholic Church has put together teaching seminars for how to do an exorcism. And so, all right. So anyway, let me take one more break, and I'm going to tell you about this story. And I was a little bit reluctant to tell the story, and then I thought, well, people might find it interesting. I found it one of the most compelling things that I had ever heard, and I think you will too. And then you can call in 523-1450 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, and it's 737 flying the friendly skies. We'll be right back. All right, so the story that I've been kind of leading up to, I have a friend that lives out of town, and this person called me up one night, and said, there's something that I wanted to talk to you about. And I said, all right, what's going on? And it's a female, and she said, well, it's a very weird story. And I said, well, fill me in. So she said that she had had a dream and that she was awakened from the dream. And every time she fell back asleep, she would have the same dream over and over again. I said, well, what's in the dream? And she said, it was very strange. She said, I met the devil in this dream. I said, all right. And I said, what happened? And so she says that the devil met me and then took me and flew me around the world and showed me the whole world. And then, and I'm just kind of reassembling the story. It's been a while, but I'll give you all the basic facts that she told me. Flew me around the world and then told me that that he was going to protect me and take care of me, and that that I didn't have to be afraid when I was around him, and that he needed me to be on the earth and travel around. And, you know, I'm just sitting there listening, and I've never heard a story like this before, of a dream like this. And so she said that she had also been taken down and somehow taken into hell. Although I, as I recall, she didn't have a lot of details about that, but she said that, or maybe not taken to hell, but I think what she said was that there was a meter that was on everyone that you could tell what sins they had committed, which would, I think, lead to what level of hell that they would be in. And I'm listening to the story, getting more and more amazed as I'm listening to it. And this person is not, that I'm talking about, is not religious whatsoever. So I said, well, okay, so what else happens? And she said, well, there was a very sad point in this, is that there was this person who was going along and killing everybody that I knew and everybody that I loved. And I said, okay. And she said, I got really freaked out, but she said, I don't really know what it means. And so that's why I called you. And so I had talked to her before about some stuff in the Bible, what, you know, the basic message of the Bible and everything. She does not have a Christian background whatsoever. And as far as she could recall, had never been, you know, kind of exposed to anything from the Bible. And she said, well, what do you think about that? And I said, I think it's alarming. And she said, do you think I'm in danger? And I said, frankly, I said, yeah, it sounds like it. I said, I don't know. I've never heard anything like this before. So then she says, I said, you know, if you want to talk about so one of the things that stands out to me is that in the story of Jesus in the Bible interacting with Satan after his 40 days in the wilderness, is that Satan takes him to the top of the temple and shows him the entire world and says, if you bow down to me, then I will give you all this. And I said, it's just, your dream reminds me of that. And I said, are you sure you've never read the Bible? And she said, no. She said, the one time that you and I talked about, you know, the message of it or whatever, she said, is the only time that I've ever talked about it. Go, okay. And I said, well, you know, what the Bible talks about Satan is that he's the father of lies, and that he is he's a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. And I said, so if it was Satan, according to that theory, he would want you dead or, you know, you to be killed, you know, basically. And she said, well, that's the weird thing that I didn't tell you about. And I said, what was that? And she said, it was that he told me the only way that I could be connected to him is if I committed suicide. And I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather. And, so she said, what do you think I should do? And I said, I think you should become a Christian. I mean, it sounds to me like it's a spiritual attack. So anyway, we talked for a while, and she decided for whatever reason, you know, she, you know, I told her a little bit about it. So anyway, she doesn't become a Christian, and then, or doesn't, you know, so a couple of months pass by. And, you know, we're talking every couple of days. And then she calls me back and she said, Kelly, I need to talk to you. And I think I got a message. It's kind of a desperate message. I really need your help. And I called her up and we started talking. And she said, I think I'm losing my mind. And I said, why? And she said, because I keep having another dream. It's not the same dream that I had before, but it's another dream, and it's very disturbing, and I can't fall asleep because every time I start to sleep, I start having this dream, and it's really freaking me out now. She said before I wasn't really that afraid because I really didn't understand it till you had explained it to me a little bit, and then now I'm totally freaked out. I said, well, what's in the dream? And she said, the same person. I said, Satan is in the dream? And she said, yes. And I said, okay. And she said, there's a house, there's a building, and it is full of screaming people. And I feel like I'm losing my mind. I mean, she says, it has been so long since I've slept, and I feel like I'm going to start hallucinating. So she said, what should I do? And I said, well, I mean, I said, you know, I'm a Christian. And I said, I think that you should, I mean, I said, she said, what do you think that the house is? And I said, it sounds to me like it would be symbolic for an insane asylum or hell. And she said, so anyway, at the end of this conversation and, you know, her thinking about it and everything, she eventually, according to her, became a Christian. And then all of this stuff stopped. She stopped dreaming about this stuff. So, and I had asked her at the time if she would mind if I told other people about it, because I've never heard anything like this in my life. And I couldn't imagine how she had these dreams with details that seemed to be out of the Bible when she didn't know the Bible. So anyway, I wanted to pass it on to you, kind of throw it out there, because I know, you know, the times that I do topics on, spiritual stuff and kind of, you know, devils or other weird stuff that people respond to that 5-2-3-14-50. That is what happened. I told both my sisters, neither one of my sisters, excuse me, would describe themselves as a Christian. And I told them, and I said, what do you think about that? They said, that's absolutely amazing. And I said, do you think I should mention it on my show? And they said, both of them said, by all means. So I decided to tell you, get your feedback, or maybe it's too weird, but anyway, we'll take a little break here at 7:48 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, and 5-2-3-1450 to call in. We'll be right back. All right. So you heard my story, and, which is actually my friend's story. So, and I just talked to this person yesterday, so she's still out there. But there is an increased, and I don't know if anybody out there, what your beliefs are, or, you know, there's a lot of people that are agnostics or atheists or whatever, but there's supposed to be 70 or 80% of the population that are Christian or consider themselves Christian. And I'm wondering, out of those percentages, what percent of people believe not just in God, but in a devil, you know? And further, do you think, if you believe in the devil, do you think that they're active on the earth, active in people's lives? And, you know, there's certain things that when you see them, when you hear about them, you can't imagine things happening unless there was someone encouraging. I mean, why would Hitler decide to kill every single Jew? Why would he want to try to do that? It doesn't make any sense. And especially during a war, which is, you know, you need all your resources to proceed with the war, he's taking resources away from that, and he's using it to build concentration camps and do all the stuff that doesn't really help with the war effort. And you know, the central policy in Hitlerism and Nazism was being anti-Jewish, which is, it's just crazy. I mean, why would, so that, you know, and those are the God's chosen people, that makes you kind of wonder. I mean, you know, Chairman Mao killing 75 million people, Stalin killing 72 million or whatever, whatever numbers they were. And those come out of the University of Hawaii's website on these genocides. But so, you know, there's some things that are so, some people that are so evil, some people that are so you know, some movements that are so awful that you just kind of wonder where would they get the motivation and commitment to, you know, I'm going to kill every, you know, follower of some religion or whatever. So, and I mean, you know, sometimes people say that about Islam. So anyway, within the Catholic Church, there are increasing numbers of exorcists. And there's one person has a list of 90 exorcists that they know of out there. And they say people on the inside say that there's more possession than they've ever seen before. And we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello, it's Bev.
Bev, 1 second. I just got another call. This is Kelly. I'll put you on hold and come right back. Yeah, go ahead, Bev.
Well, I think the story you're telling me in some circles is not that unusual. And
have you ever heard anything, Bev?
Bev,
please just listen for a second. Have you ever heard any story like that?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
And it's clear to me that there's a good and evil. There's a dark side.
Well,
light,
I mean,
light,
Bev, everybody who listens to the show knows that you're a Christian and you talk about the Bible a lot, and obviously you're going to believe in God and Satan and everything, but what I'm looking for is real stories and stuff. I've got another call. We're almost out of time. Can we pick this up tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay, thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Jerry. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning, Jerry. Hey, what's up?
Hey, I apologize for getting upset the other day.
I didn't realize you're upset, but anyway, go ahead.
And the Bible also says in there where Jesus was talking to Peter, and the devil actually asked if he could have Peter to thrash him.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil has to get permission to do what he's doing. And people can be protected through Jesus and God.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the Jewish people, why Hitler was persecuting them so bad is because the Jews, the devil knows that the Jews have to be stopped in order for God's promises or his mission to end. Everything's going through the Jewish people.
Sounds like a rooster crowing in the background there. Isn't that what happened when Peter, you know, Peter lied about Jesus the third time and the cock crowed? Thanks for the call. I got to go, but call back tomorrow on this. All right, folks. So anyway, if you know, for people, I'm always interested in talking to people that don't believe in anything, and then what your take is on spiritual stuff, and like how you like there's this perception that the world is spiritual, and there's all this stuff going on in it all the time that's spiritually, you know, related. How they explain that? How would you explain this dream that my friend had when she was raised without any interaction in the Bible? She comes up with stuff that comes out of this dream that just seems, could that stuff get in, you know? And you could say, well, I mean, obviously we're all exposed to religious ideas, especially Christian ideas, in this country all the time. It's a Christian country. And, you know, she could have read a pamphlet, or, you know, she could have heard something on the radio and forgotten about it. But it just struck me as extraordinary. And then, you know, then she's, you know, she's got this dream and very specific, you know, and she calls me, and then according to her, she becomes a Christian, and I don't have any reason to believe that she hasn't. She said those dreams stopped immediately. All of this stuff. I mean, I'm a skeptic, not a cynic, but I'm a skeptic. And even especially when I hear about religious stuff, I'm skeptical because I want some proof and I want to know, you know, I think you've got to be more skeptical about your own beliefs than anybody else's, because you got to have, you know, you got to be ready to kind of, you know, sniff out the fake stuff. But anyway, there's this art. I would encourage you to go read this San Francisco Weekly article. You can find it on Drudge: Return of the Devil, Exorcisms Comeback in the Catholic Church. It is a very, very long article, and it's very interesting. But why all the Satanism in Mexico? I mean, Mexico's a Catholic country, you know? And why is there an uprising, upsurge of Satanism in America, according to these people who are working as exorcists? apparently every diocese in, and I think there's 182 dioceses in America, and every, I think every diocese in California has an exorcist. So what are these people interacting with? If it's not Satan, then what is it? And where do these manifestations come from? And then you go to other countries, hear about other countries where people are possessed, and, you know, Africa and stuff like that, Haiti, and I don't know. It's all weird. Anyway, thanks for listening in. Kelly O'Connell, 759 AM, Massachusetts, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 for tomorrow. Hope you have a good day. See you back in 22 hours. Ciao.